You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. It's weird to think that the Bill and Ted series has always been sort of, I don't know, zenny. I mean, their very mission statement, be excellent to each other. I mean, as dumb as that sounds, is something people have to be told? You know? Oh, by the way, you should be excellent to each other. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, Bill and Ted, they're presented as not the brightest bulbs in the house, and often these are the people that need to be told that being nice to people is really nice. I don't think it's really that surprising that this third movie, that 29 years later, third movie, 29 years after Bogus Journey, 31 after the original, its core message is be excellent to each other. If you want to save the world, we all have to get on the same page and care about each other. And that made me cry like an infant watching it.
It's the movie we deserve right now. It's the movie. It's actually, it's not the movie we deserve. It's the movie that we need.
Yes. I would say that is all accurate. I mean, I'm definitely not, that's not me saying 10 out of 10 Bill and Ted's Face the Music. Cause I do have issues with this film, but I think in some ways it's the weakest of the three, but it has some qualities that make it the strongest, but we'll get into that. It's not just me here. I'm not the only person you want to hear from. I want to hear from Ryan Alec Hill.
What's going on?
How are you doing?
Doing well, hanging in there.
In your home studio there. Bradley.
Hello.
Who apparently has God looking down on him from the you know.
Always, yeah.
And right.
Hello.
Sitting in front of one of the most famous paintings ever.
Oh, yeah. Actually, my sister painted this back in college.
Oh, so not one of the most famous.
It's not that very famous. It's actually just one of a kind, and only about 12 people have seen it.
Y'all hear us talking like that. That's because for subscribers, there's actually a video version of this now where you can see our smiling mugs. It's not OnlyFans, as Ryan pointed out before the thing, so that's all you're going to see. But
you never know.
You never know. This video could go wacky places. Who knows? But
be excellent to each other.
I mentioned that this thing came out in the original one in 31 years ago. Okay, so let's for a second, for those who do have the video here, let's take a look at what they looked like in that first movie. Keanu Reeves and Alex Cox. They were just. I mean, I was 19. And it looks like they were too, you know, so young that it makes me feel like I'm like this is all a dream. And I'm in that virtual reality from Black Mirror, San Junipero, just looking at it. It's like there is no way that I'm still alive. But then I look at what they look like now. And I'm like, oh, I actually kind of look better than that in some ways.
You had to use that photo. They're both perplexed and just like, oh.
Keanu, who everyone's like, wow, he's barely aged. I'm like, well, something caught up to him during the making of this movie because I noticed it.
Past 2 years, it seems like, yeah, he finally aged the 15, 20 years that we all thought he wasn't. And he also looked like out of everything he's done in the past, I guess, 15, 20 years, he finally looks a little tired. Just like, I've been kicking so much ass for the past 15 years. I just want to just chill out and not do anything. And he does this movie where he has to still be energetic, like Alex Winters, who was... He was pretty good. He hasn't been anything for years now.
Well, he's been focusing on his career as a director.
Yeah. And he was great. He didn't miss a beat. And Keanu Reeves was just like, oh man, just give me a break real quick, okay? Just like, I just need to sit down.
He did kind of have that, like, oh, it's not easy being the reincarnation of the Buddha and being a successful actor.
Well, his woes are not like an amazement. It's more just like, oh, whoa. Just like out of breath. Just like, I gotta sit.
Whoa. I mean, it kind of fit this movie because I'll be honest, there was a point, by the halfway point, I was like, why is this movie so depressing? I'm very sad watching this movie.
Why were you sad watching this movie?
It's dark, dude. There's like, I mean, it gets pretty damn dark. I mean, the very premise, and first off, let me say, in 2014, they said what it was, and everyone rolled their eyes. Oh, yeah, Bill and Ted 3, like, anyone's asking for that. And I'm the guy going, uh-huh, uh-huh, tell me more. I'm a big fan of the series, and when they're like, yeah, well, they're going to be like 40-somethings, well, 50-somethings now, and nothing ever happened in their life. Their dreams were never accomplished, and they just kind of go through the motions day to day, and no one really respects them, and I'm like, that's really sad. But the way this movie should be, you know, this is the movie I wanted to see for sure. And they, you know, who they got to direct this. Every movie's been directed by somebody different, even though they've been written by the same two guys. This is Dean Parasut. You know what he directed?
I looked at this the other day.
It's Galaxy Quest, right?
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
That's the only thing he's directed worth talking about, but yes. I mean, he's directed other movies. They just weren't worth talking about.
Yeah, Galaxy Quest is amazing, though, you know.
Oh.
So yeah. It's a good, you know.
Oh, yeah. But you're not a big fan of Fun with Dick and Jane? Come on.
No.
Come on.
Or Red 2.
Oh, God. I didn't bother with that
The Better
one.
Red?
You mean? The Better Red.
Redder. But this is written by Chris Matheson, who's the son of Richard Matheson. I just found that out today.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like one of the greatest writers of all time. And Ed Solomon, who wrote Men in Black and Now You See Me and Charlie's Angels. So it's like, and these two guys wrote all of them together. Like, okay. So the story here is Bill and Ted, as we said, they're old. They still think Wild Stallions, their band, is going to write the song that will bring the whole world together, as George Carlin, Rufus, told them in the previous films. Like, you are destined to save the world through your music. But they're in their 50s, and it has not happened. They're playing, you know, really lame local gigs. Their daughters, which turned out to be daughters, I let people like, oh, they're sons, I can't believe they changed it. It's like, well, technically they didn't. All we ever saw them were as infants, and they referred to them by their names, which they kept for this. People just assumed they were boys.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, even the infants were little girls, for the record, but
boom.
Just saying.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, the girls are all grown up, and they're basically like female new generation Bill and Ted. Like, whoa, excellent, Dad, you're the best.
Yeah, they definitely bring that kind of old Bill and Ted energy to the movie in like a, I thought, a really great way. They were both really, really fun, especially the actress who played Ted. She was incredible. It was weird.
It was kind of uncanny. Like,
it was
her. It's, I guess they're both trying to do like impressions, but her impression of Ted from just the first movie was fucking amazing.
It was great. It was really good.
Bridget Lundy Payne is the actress who is playing Ted's daughter, who's known for the show Atypical and the movie The Glass Castle. And of course, it was Samara Weaving, who's much more recognizable playing Bill's daughter, who was cast because Keanu found out that she was the niece of Hugo Weaving, who of course he knows from the Matrix films. So they're like, well, what happened? Well, this right when they're about to like literally say, okay, well, this isn't working. Even our daughters and our wives are going, what the fuck? Like a time travel egg appears from the future. I guess they've evolved past the phone booth, and it is the daughter of George Carlin, who of course couldn't be in this film because he had other dimensions to be in, played by Kristen Schaal, who's named Kelly, which is actually a tribute to the actual daughter of George Carlin, whose name is Kelly and does in fact have a small cameo in this film playing one of her followers, who is like, okay, we're going to need you to come to the future. Something is going on and we don't know exactly what it is, but you got to get in the egg and we're going there and we're going to figure this shit out. And they go there and they're like, okay, we're not entirely sure that the sacred scriptures were read correctly. We don't know what's going on. And we're going to give you one more chance to make it right. Which, of course, they immediately fuck up and decide they're going to steal the song from themselves in the future by going, you know, a couple years at a time and say, well, why don't we just get it after we've written it and go, dudes, give us the song. Which, making it the oddest ever narrative of man versus himself in terms of, like, you know,
that's also that's a really good idea for that character to have too. I was kind of impressed.
So that's half the story. The other half of the story is the daughters, who end up going on their own adventure. And it's odd that the daughters are basically redoing the first movie, and Bill and Ted are kind of redoing the second movie. They even, like, there's even a whole team up with Death at one point again, which, thank goodness,
I know,
that was one of the best parts of the second film. I mean, so great. William Sadler is the Grim Reaper, and they come together into something new. But I don't know, guys, I've heard nothing but almost nothing but really hyperbolically positive things about this. And I think I came down on the, I'm really glad I watched this movie and I really liked parts of it, but I'll be honest, I didn't laugh a whole bunch.
I thought it was just, it was very charming and sweet. Like I was saying earlier, it felt like the movie we kind of need right now, where it's just so in kind of in love with itself. And it just, like, hey guys, we just want to have fun. Actually, to your cold open, is that the message is, let's just be excellent to each other. And that's what it was, felt like it was doing the entire time, and the story that it was telling, and how everyone was so nice to each other. Like, there's no real, you know, there's no real conflict between the two characters, and even with, like, the family. I mean, there's a little bit of a pushed conflict with, like, the princesses from their previous movies, but that's just kind of sort of tossed to the side. But the daughters are just so, like, eager to, like, let's help them. Let's do all these good things and let's get this, you know, the write the song if we can ourselves, or whatever it ends up becoming about. But I just thoroughly, I didn't laugh a ton, but I thought it was so sweet and it just cheered me up. Like, this is a very cheerful movie.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, like, I definitely laughed throughout it. But I mean, for sure, I was smiling the whole time. It was like, it was impossible not to. And I think that's why, I mean, like you said, right? And that's why it's perfect for, like, today. You know, it feels like something that I'm really glad they decided to release it on VOD too, because I think that it's gonna, you know, it's gonna cheer a lot of people up. And I feel like that's why they wanted to release it right now.
Brad, you have a family. Did you watch this with your family?
Kind of. They drifted in and out of it. They have no history with these movies since they weren't born yet for a couple decades, and my wife never watched any of them. I was actually, like, grinchy about this. I started watching it, and it opens with the stepdad, like, really laying into how lazy and stupid and worthless they've become, and throwing away their dreams for some imaginary fantasy that they got while they were probably baked. And, you know, Bill and Ted's answer to that was like, sure. You know, like, they don't even insult people back when they're being insulted. So I was like, I'm with the stepdad on this. These guys are total losers. As the movie progressed and I got to see their spouses in marriage counseling, everyone should consider marriage counseling. That definitely makes any relationship stronger. So I thought,
even
that
if
was
you're not
cool.
Married.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cute how they were all just kind of like, and how confused the psychiatrist is. Great character actress. I wish I remembered her name. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Jillian Bell.
And what I really liked about the daughters' performances by, how am I missing these?
Samara Weaving and Bridget Lundy Payne.
Like, both of them. I thought, oh, okay, this will be easy for both these actresses. I've seen Atypical. Everybody loves Ready or Not. They'll just do impressions and it'll be over with. But they actually captured the essence of, and this relates to, you know, being friends with families myself, the essence and attitude and quirks that children do get with their parents and do, like, pull from their parents as they're raised by them. And, like, how the hell did they do that? Like, when Keanu's looking at his daughter and Bill and Ted are conversing with their daughters, I'm like, damn, this is there's so much love and affection going on between all four of these actors, with just like, oh, how she's like, you know, like, speaks with her whole body, just like Ted did when I was a kid. And how's the saying going, the Grinch? My heart grew like 3 sizes in that scene. And I was like, okay, let's watch the rest of this. This is a good movie.
I really liked, and this is odd that the character felt kind of like a substitute Death, because Death took on a very different type of role in this film than he had in the second one. So in this one, there's a robot that gets sent after them to kill them, played by the wonderful Anthony Carrigan, who, if you don't know, and Barry, he plays the bald Chechen mobster in there. And he plays Victor Zsasz on Gotham. Really, really good character actor. And my only problem was, why didn't you give that guy more to do? Like, at points he gets to say something, he's really got some funny lines, but everybody kind of talks over him with a sort of, yeah, we're exasperated with you. And it's kind of the only joke they have for him, other than, hey, I've got a name. And it's kind of odd that a robot would have a first, middle, and last name. I don't know. It felt like a joke that wasn't finished.
Yeah, it felt like it's like, oh yeah, we'll put another character in there to be with Bill and Ted on their adventure a little bit. And what does he do? It's like, oh, he has a weird name, and he just says it.
Yeah.
Was it Dylan?
I
was like,
okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Was his name Dylan?
It was Dennis Caleb McCoy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just felt like there were points throughout it that the comedy just didn't really come to a head, that they were definitely more concerned with the story being good and a nice way to tie up the series and reflective of the two films while not just copying what they were doing. And then even being exactly, as you said, the movie we need right now, than they were with making the jokes work. It's weird to say this absurdist comedy needed some punch up, but this absurdist comedy needed some punch up.
Yeah. Even down to Christian Schaal being in it. I just really feel like it just at the end, I just wasn't sure why they cast her. Cause she's a hilarious comedian. And they didn't really have much for her to do. She kind of just stands around and has a conflict with her mom. And I don't even think she has a single joke, as far as I can remember, maybe.
Not really. She kind of bitches at the robot. That's about it towards the end. And also, one of her assistants was Kelly Carlin, who is really George Carlin's daughter, who is a professional actress.
You just right.
I can't be the only one go, why didn't you just give her the part?
Yeah, switch the roles.
I mean, nobody is going, oh, I don't know if I'm going to see that third Bill and Ted's movie because I'm not familiar with this actress playing this role. What? What was that?
Did she call in a favor?
A movie about fathers and daughters that's paying tribute to a father and daughter. What kind of weird message is that?
Yeah. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Bradley, why don't you get us started?
Well, like I said, I kind of volunteered to see this one just out of curiosity. I've seen these films a lot when I was a little kid and kind of drifted away as an adolescent. I remember Twister with Death from, you know, like, right foot green, and Death is getting so irritated. I love that joke. But with this, nothing really measured up to jokes like that, as you were saying. And I really thought, this is my fault, they could have gone really deep into hating yourself from the future and your future self hating your past self. Just really self-inspection of who you are, who you want to be. That's some really deep stuff. And they kind of played it cornball, and that kind of annoyed me a little bit. But the performances between Bill, Ted, and the two daughter characters, Billy and Teddy, I thought was so beautiful. And I'm a music guy. I sing all the time to myself, to other people that happen to be around. I don't care. It's very embarrassing and cringy for my audience, but I enjoy it. And I really do think this message is spot on for any time period you live in. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to give this 7 minutes of beautiful, transcendent music out of a 45-minute solo.
Ryan.
I think this could have went horribly wrong, and it's nice that it didn't, you know? Like, it was fun, I think, exactly what it needed to be. Based on the trailer, it's kind of what I expected it was going to be. And I think that's exactly what everyone's expecting, and if you're a Bill and Ted fan, I think you'll enjoy it. I don't like it as much as the first two, for sure. I love the second one and just how like absurd it gets. And I don't think it quite reaches that level of absurdism really. But there, I think there's enough there if you're a fan of the first two that you're going to enjoy it. Another like little nitpicky thing. There was just a lot of CGI and background stuff that I thought was like, it almost felt like placeholders at points. And I felt like it could have been a little busier. You could have done, I don't know, it kind of paled in comparison to some of the like really weird, cool, like kind of Tim Burton-y set design in the second one, especially.
I wanted to interrupt real quick to point out, you know, there's a lot, all those scenes with the CG background where it's like various historical figures that you're not sure who they are, but dropping in and out. Well, that was actually a charity thing. They went to the Wounded Warriors Project and exclusively cast among people, vets who needed work, to be able to give them these little extra parts here. Yeah. So they were all like vets that were dealing with like being out of work and having various issues that kept them from getting work, and here was a paying gig, you know.
That is really cool. That's awesome.
This movie is so damn wonderful.
No, it seems like everything about it is, but yeah, no, some of the stuff in Hell did look really cool though. Overall, I mean, I think it's absolutely worth watching if you're into Bill and Ted. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 sad, lonely games of hopscotch.
Nice. Right.
I really did enjoy it. And it's funny, I'm not the biggest fan of the first two movies. I didn't really watch them a ton growing up. I did watch Bogus Journey probably a lot more than the first one and remember liking it. But this one, it just... Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I haven't had like, I love watching movies, but I haven't had a lot of like just pure fun and kind of, you know, when people say it's like, oh, you just watch Transformer movies so you can just turn your brain off or something like that. Here, this is the type of movie that I'd like to watch where I don't have to really think about it too much. Cause then if I start to, then I'm like, that didn't make a lot of sense. And why did they do those things? But with this, I thought it was very cute and charming. It did seem like Keanu Reeves was just like maybe halfway through production was kind of over it a little bit. But Alex Winter, he was game all the way through. He was like, yeah, I'll do this again. Let's do this. And the two daughters, his actresses were wonderful. And I just had a lot of fun. It seemed like the biggest issue with it, I think, is that they crammed a lot in one 90-minute movie. And they balanced it well enough, but it's just, it felt a slightly bloated, where if it was more like, I think what you were saying earlier, Bradley, is just focusing on just the relationships, the dynamics between the fathers and the daughters, that would have been pretty, I would say, special. And then it could have rounded out this whole trilogy together. But I liked it a lot. I thought there were definitely funny moments in it. Yeah, the CG stuff wasn't the greatest in the world. But I'll end it with one slightly crude joke that they made in, the first one. I'll give it 69 out of 100 dudes.
Damn you.
That's perfect.
I was waiting for it.
Now, oh, I bet you
for
were.
For the record, yes, 69 is like their favorite number where they established the first one. And do you know this was originally supposed to come out August 21st? 8 + 21 + 20 + 20 = 69. Intentional.
Whoa.
Yeah, I like this. I mean, when I saw the original, I was like 19 and I was high. I was so high. I think most of the times I've watched either one of these movies, I was fucking high. I haven't seen either one in a long time. I would love to. I know they're selling a digital kit with like and a Blu-ray set with all three of them together. Like, cool.
Oh,
kind of hope that they are going to put together a documentary that's like, oh, the giant grand documentary history of Bill and Ted. Why would I care? I don't know. I just like these guys. They're kind of weirdly charming. Knowing that Keanu and Alex are just great friends in real life and everyone got along great making this, and that it's been the same writers all along and they're best friends who describe themselves as basically Bill and Ted. They're like, yeah, we kind of always thought of ourselves as Bill and Ted. Like, wow. Wow, all of that is appealing to me. And this third movie, while it's not a knock it out of the park home run, it is exactly what it should be for a movie coming out right now. It makes you feel good, ultimately, by the end. And I did. I cried, and I sat there super embarrassed about crying. I'm just like, I'm crying and blushing and going, I can't believe I'm fucking crying watching this stupid thing. Jesus Christ. It's like, maybe I'm just having a weird day where, like, you know, you watch a light bulb commercial with a mother hugging her daughter, and you're like, oh, God. You know, you have those days like that. I was like, maybe it was me. But then I keep seeing all these other people are like, oh, my God, I wept openly. I'm like, I guess it was actually the movie. I can't explain it, but it worked on me. It's not wildly funny, but it's never like, here's the joke. And then you go, ugh. It's not one of those type of comedies. No, it's always kind of like chuckle-worthy, a few giggles here and there, but nothing that made me laugh out loud, really. It's just okay on that level. And I feel like there's places it could have been better. But overall, I'm going to watch it again. I'll probably watch it several more times in my life. And I'll always go, yeah, that's pretty good. We have another trilogy to add to the pretty blameless trilogy list, of which is very small. I'm going to give this not 69 out of 100 now that somebody over there already took that. 7 out of 10 rock star cameos, of which there were a few. I mean, one was obvious, right? Dave Grohl.
Oh, yeah.
But there was also one of the great leaders of the future was Win Butler from the Arcade Fire, which was kind of interesting.
Oh, really? I didn't catch that.
And then in the end credits, which they got, they sourced by sending people, the fans who were following the making of this, the like clips with music, and said, hey, just film yourself rocking out. So almost all of that was just fans. But if you look, Weird Al is in there.
Weird Al was in it.
Lincoln, oh, you miss him.
He's I saw that.
There. Of course, Weird Al's in there.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
It does. I would have been more surprised if he hadn't been there.